First Samuel 17. Let's start reading just a few verses in chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah and in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. There was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So it says there in verse 4, there went out a champion. Goliath is called a champion 3 times here, once in verse 4, once in verse 23, where it says, there came up the champion, and finally again, all the way over in verse 51, where it says, and when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So that's the only champion in the Bible, oddly enough, and he was defeated. So praise the Lord for that. Let's have a word of prayer to get started here tonight. Brother Sadik, Jeff, would you pray for us, please? Amen. So, I don't have a lot of voice tonight, and so I don't intend for this to be terribly long, but you know, we're back to one of the most beloved and treasured stories of the Bible here with, Goliath. Kids know this story, of course, and it should be beloved. It should be treasured because, after all, it was real. It was true. You do believe that, right? And just like Noah's flood was historic, so was the battle of David and Goliath. The other thing is the right guy won. I love it when the right guys win. Amen. So we've hadn't had a lot of that here lately, but the right guy won, and I'm glad for that. Here you have the classic underdog versus champion, you know, a scenario. Everybody likes to root for the underdog, they say. And so there's an appeal to that, and I don't quite understand why always in human nature it's that way, but we have a tendency to love the underdog, and it's just worthwhile to say that Goliath was used to winning. Now, regarding those things, first of all, I hope the battle is real to you. In other words, I hope that there is an ongoing historic battle between you and technically, Goliath is not called a giant. He's one of the sons of the giant. So, just for that, but he's often called the giant in your life. So, I hope there is a historic fight going on in reality between you and the giant. Okay, so we'll talk more about that in a second. And I need to ask, because you need to be considering whether the right guy is winning. Now, in this case, the right guy is you. You should be winning this battle. David won the battle, and I'm glad he did. But you need to be winning that battle. And be assured that how I'm going to present Goliath tonight, as I already said, he was a common winner. He was the Philistines' champion. He is very good. He is good at leaving people stamped as grease spots in the dust. Goliath is very good. So, as the underdog, how are you doing? Now, for us, I'm glad to say that this battle's been won for us by Jesus Christ in standing, right? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I'm grateful in standing that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken on sin, death, hell, the devil, the world, and all those things, and has won those battles, and in standing, the battle is won. But you know that in state, there's a whole different scenario here. Goliath is not a perfect type of, first of all, Satan, but He was wounded in the head, just like Satan has had his head bruised. Goliath is not a perfect type of the Antichrist, although the Antichrist dies of a head wound. Goliath is not a perfect type of the world, but the world is a blasphemous bully. The flesh, he's not a perfect type of the flesh, but the flesh is accustomed to winning, like Goliath usually did. And he's not a perfect type of sin, but we'll present him in some of those ways here tonight. He was the champion. There are very few men, but there are also very few Christians that don't suffer ready and regular defeat by the world, the flesh, the devil, and sin. It's the way things go. Amen? So David whipped and killed Goliath and went on to fight other enemies and fought other battles. And the story, David really never, we hear Goliath's name a couple more times. But in the main, David goes right on about his business and goes on to other battles and other enemies. And so one thing that I noticed here was that sets up quite a contrast between me and you and what David fought. Because the truth of the matter is, David's victory and experience is not like ours in some ways. For instance, title of the message is "There Went Out a Champion," out of verse 4. And again, I'll be pretty short this tonight, I think. But I want you to take note that Goliath briefly appeared, was once defeated, and then disappeared. Goliath is in one chapter of the Bible. He rises and is introduced as champion, and he is defeated in one chapter of the Bible. And other than mentioning him and his kinship with somebody else, you don't hear anything else about him in the Word of God. He's one out of 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Goliath is only in really one of them. For 40 days, it says down in verse 16, the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So he was a 40-day wonder. About a month and a half, he went out and challenged the nation of Israel and had some success there, and nobody wanted to go out to him and was scared. And then along came David. But for 40, so it's just a very brief career for him, at least in the Bible, of 40 days. He died in one brief instant. David slung a stone, and the chances are pretty good that Goliath never felt a thing, right? And so in an instant of time, Goliath was slain. He never rose. He was never again a threat, out of sight, out of mind. Nobody ever had to worry about Goliath ever again. And in that, he's different from your Goliath. Because while that works in our standing, while you receive Christ as your Savior, and the world will not overcome you in standing. The world, the flesh, the devil is defeated. The flesh is defeated. And sin is defeated. And standing. You never have to worry about going to hell. You never have to worry about being damned. You never have to worry about Satan getting your soul. But in state, in practice, it's not that way at all. There are people that say, and they're heretics, that once you get saved, you should never sin ever, ever again. Now, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, but you will. That Satan will never get the leg up on you ever again. That the world is not a threat to you now. Now, the folks that say that are ideologues, and I know where they get it from, but they're heretics. They're wrong. Because I want you to just take note that while Goliath was briefly appeared, was once defeated, never rose again, never was a threat to anybody ever, ever again, your enemy is persistent. He's enduring. He just keeps coming back. You defeat him today, he'll be back. It's that way. Goliath, just in one chapter, but The world, the flesh, and the devil will play in every chapter of your life. That's what makes what we battle different than David's battle with Goliath. Goliath was quickly defeated. Goliath, as we're presenting him tonight, is an unceasing threat to you. I don't mean your soul, but I mean your sanctification. For the rest of your life, you will have to battle Goliath as the world, the flesh, the devil, and sin. He never goes away. So there's a way of saying this, I suppose, where, you know, we look up to David, the mighty warrior, the valiant man. Well, you have to exceed him in being valiant to get a defeat over these things, because Goliath is not defeated in one moment of time. Not for me and you. David never had to worry about Goliath again, never had to look over his shoulder to make sure this big creep wasn't creeping up on him. But the devil's never dead for you, not in this life. The world never goes away. The flesh is ever and always a threat, and sin is ever deceitful. It's always there. David could almost most be dismissive. I mean, just this guy rises up, he shoots off his big mouth for a while, for 40 days. Sling a stone, he's gone, cut off his head, no big deal, done deal. And it's never a done deal for me and you, because the world, the flesh, and the devil are still very real enemies in practice for a Christian. Amen? So first of all, Goliath briefly appeared, was once defeated. For us, he is always persistent. He's always present. He's enduringly consistent. And that's why there are so many casualties, because he just never really goes away. Does that make sense? I wanted to point out something else to you here in the passage. Look in chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together, their armies to battle were gathered together at Shoko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoko and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. I want to say that Goliath's war, you can see down here a little bit later as he shoots his mouth off, Goliath's war was waged publicly. I mean, he stood out in the middle of a valley on that plain and shot his mouth off, and the theater of war was right there, and he wanted to bring somebody out to come out and fight him. His challenge, his contention was totally public. Clearly sought the humiliation of Israel, of Saul their king, and of the mighty men of valor that fought for Saul. I'll grant you that one day the Antichrist and Satan will hold a public campaign and will be known worldwide. So there's coming a day for that. That I give you. And yes, we also are called to profess Christ openly, to serve Christ openly, and to bear reproach for Him openly. I'll grant you that. That's certainly true. But I also want to say that Goliath's war, while waged publicly, yours is waged privately. Yours is waged secretly. Where you make Goliath a type of the world, the flesh, the devil, and sin, or sin, your greatest battles are fought and won or lost in private, in secret. It's possible for you to lose mighty battles and still put a pretty good show on outside. Now, people, you know, call that hypocrisy, and there's a certain level where that's true, but, you know, if you're going to call that hypocrisy, then sometimes when I put on a smile when I don't feel like smiling, I guess I'm a hypocrite. But the truth of the matter is, you can suffer mighty and awful defeats. It's called secret lives. You can technically, and eventually it'll show up, I guess, but you can technically live a secret life and have a secret life of sin and get by with it for a while. But you haven't won against Goliath, because Goliath's entire warfare was waged publicly, but yours will be won and lost privately. By far and away, our wrestlings with the world are waged in the heart, privately. By far and away, the wrestlings that we have in our flesh are waged in private, in the heart. Now, you can take it public if you choose, and sometimes that happens, sometimes you're exposed, but it's won and lost privately. So once again, David arose to the challenge, was much more adept than Goliath could have ever guessed, slung a stone and killed Goliath instantly. Done deal, it's over. But there are some ways you can say that you have to be more valiant and more consistent than even David, which is really something to think about. I want to say with regard to Goliath that Goliath's challenge was blatant and openly murderous. In chapter 17, verse 8, he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." All this is out in front of everybody. Verse 10, the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel. This day give me a man that we may fight together." Goliath's challenge was blatant. It was just openly murderous. He was going to kill somebody and smash them publicly in front of everybody. It was just blatant. Look down in verse 10. No, I'm sorry, verse 16. It says in verse 16, "And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So he's out there shooting his big mouth off for 40 days, for a month and a half he's shooting his mouth off publicly, blatantly blaspheming God, defying the armies of Israel, defying the God of Israel. It's blatant, it's outward, it's openly murderous. He's loud, he's obnoxious, he's offensive, he's brazen, he's strident. And certainly I would admit the world can be that way. The world is ever more blatant and strident these days. It used to be kind of hidden where, you know, they would try to tuck away certain of their dirty laundry because even to the world it was shameful, but now it's just all out in the open. So I'll grant you that. But you should remember that while Goliath was blatant and openly brazen, you should remember that one of your adversaries, the devil, is more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made. He is crafty. He is slick. He managed to ease in on Eve, and it was in a private conversation. See what I'm saying? Goliath's challenge is outward, loud, obnoxious, but that's not how the devil really is. Judas was the son of perdition and will one day be resurrected in the Antichrist. Even he was crafty. He didn't run around shooting his mouth off about he's going to betray Christ. He went and made a deal in private. And so you have this thing again where there's this disparity, this contrast between the kind of enemy David had and the kind of enemy that you have day to day. Amen? Well, you've got to take that serious. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. He places snares in places. Those devices in 2 Corinthians 2 revolve around unforgiveness in your heart. Well, that's not an outward battle. That's an inward battle. That's something that you wrestle with personally, inwardly. The Antichrist, even, while there's some things that, you know, he's like Goliath, I suppose, in some ways, don't forget the Antichrist comes in peaceably with flattering words. It obtains the kingdom by flattery. He's slick. And so Eve fell for a nicely dressed fellow that didn't hiss. Right? Nicely dressed fellow who was, outgoing and eloquent and, she liked talking to him. And that's how this goes. I just want to say that nobody liked Goliath. He was loud, brazen, blasphemous. He stunk to high heavens, hairy, everything obnoxious. Blah, 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 blah. 40 days, man, a month and a half. Wouldn't shut his mouth. Everybody hated him. Well, not everybody hates the devil. A lot of folks love the devil because he's a nice guy. Got to remember that. I want to say with regard to that we can also say some things about sin. Look in Hebrews chapter 3 real quick. Keep your finger in 1 Samuel, but Hebrews 3. I just got thinking, here is David and defeats his enemy, on the really more or less just coming into camp and we got to shut this guy up and done deal. I mean, it's over and he never rises again. But if you're going to make Goliath, if you're going to apply Goliath to your life and mine, it's not that way at all. Hebrews chapter 3, go on down to verse 13, Hebrews 3:13, where it says, "But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Okay, sin is deceitful. Sin is, usually it's given for a man, a characteristic of man, but sin is subtle. Sin is crafty. Sin knows its strengths. And its strength is just to get you a little bit at a time. There's something in Africa, I didn't see one, it's called a wait-a-while bush. And it has thorns on it. Only the thorns are like fishhook thorns. So when a guy backs into it, a couple of those little fishhook thorns snatch his shirt and he can't, get it off. And what always happens in the struggle, he winds up getting more of the fishhook thorns in him, in his clothes, and so he winds up basically entangled in this thing. And that's like sin. Sin is deceitful. It's subtle. It's crafty. It's devious. And, just think about the flesh along these lines, too. The flesh, think about the fact that it's just always there. Now, it can be really boisterous and blatant and outward. It can be that way. But I think the strength of the flesh is just that the old man is just always there. I knock him in the head and try to bury him, but he's going to crawl out of the grave. And he's just always whispering. I don't believe I hear the voice of the devil every day, but I hear the voice of the old man. I hear the voice of the flesh at all times. And so again, a stone is slung, a sword is wielded, and Goliath's head is gone, and he's gone. All that have to be done is bury him or let the buzzards eat him. Who cares? But that's not how your enemy is. What you battle, if you try to put it on David's battlefield, you are against something that's on you all the time. You never get to reduce your vigilance. You never are able to just throw caution to the wind and just do what you want. On the days that you're off, the days that you're not doing anything active, you're just trying to rest, that'll be the day the devil shows up and tries to get you entangled in something. It's that way. So, Goliath's challenges were blatant, openly, murderous, openly destructive. He wanted to smoosh people into the ground. Lord knows what he would have done had David been defeated. I don't know what he would have, what kind of actions he would have taken on the body of David. Who knows? I know what Saul feared against the Philistines. Amen? I say, what's the point? Well, Goliath's challenge was blatant and open, but the world, the flesh, and the devil are more subtle, crafty, devious, sneaky. Amen? Goliath, I'd like to say, fourthly, calls you to battle. I mean, he's bloodthirsty. He's a barbaric warrior. And so he calls somebody out, pick your best man, bring him out, and I will crush him into the dirt. He's that way. He's out on the open plain. He wants classic open warfare. He doesn't want to sneak into your camp. He doesn't want to sneak up on anybody in their tent and kill them quietly, slit their throat, and then sneak away. It's not what he wants. Not guerrilla warfare. He wants it out in the open. It's theatrical. And so David said, I'll do it, and went out and killed him. I mean, it was over, bam, like that. But Goliath's call is to battle. But the devil stalks. Goliath called the men of Israel out, trying to humiliate them. But the devil stalks as a predator. He sneaks into your camp. He lays in wait. He lays in ambush. He invades your camps. He invades where you sleep and will try to destroy you there and then sneak back out. If you've never had a chance to find the book Death in the Long Grass by a guy whose last name is Capstick, I mean, I would buy the book. He tells some lion stories and leopard stories that'll send shivers down your spine. You won't want to sleep in the backyard after reading that book, much less in Africa. But the devil stalks. He suborns. The world, think about the world. The world is blatant sometimes, but it also creeps in. It works its way in. It's like a seed that works its way into a crack, and there it takes root, and pretty soon it pushes the crack apart. It's like that in your life. That's what the world is like. The flesh is that way. The flesh already has a strong point. It's the enemy for all of us is already within. It's right here all the time whispering to me. It's my flesh. It's the old man, right? He's never going away. No Pentecostal preacher can, well, they're going to lie, but they should never be able to convince you that the old man is gone. Because the old man ain't gone. And the sin that goes with him is not gone. Your sins are gone through the standing you have in Jesus Christ. But as far as the state that you live in, the world that you live in, it is never far away. And the flesh is very much where it resides. I'd like to say, for sin, we merely have to look within, right? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If you're not careful, you'll talk yourself into sinning because your heart is deceitful. And so once again, I just point out to you, David, it's a one-off, goes out, summons the courage, runs at him, slings the stone, busts him, cuts his head off, carries the head back, and all's cool. He never has to look over his shoulder to find out if Goliath's following him again. But that's not the case with me and you. Our enemy will always be present until, right? It'll always be there until the trumpet blows and we get out of here. So Goliath calls to battle. I'd like to say something else. But in chapter 17, verse 24, look down there. It says, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Goliath strikes fear. He is fearsome. He is frightening. The men, the Bible says there, they were sore afraid. They fled from him. Well, I want you to point out to you that the devil recruits. Goliath stood up and roared, and everybody, David, but the day David came to count, all the men just disappeared, all dove under the couch. The devil doesn't stand up and roar. He recruits. He wants you to join him. What did he get Eve to do? He got Eve to join him. What did he get Israel to do? He got them to join him. I mean, Aaron didn't make a golden horse. Aaron made a golden calf. And a cherub has a calf's face. And the devil was the anointed cherub that covereth. I know he's a serpent. I know he's the dragon. But he appears as a cherub. And he got Israel to join him. In fact, when Jeroboam came to power, he set up two calves. And everybody flocked to those calves. The devil recruits. Goliath was fearsome and ran people off, scared them to death. The devil suborns them, seduces them, draws them. If he's not careful, if you're not careful, you'll join him. You'll join him. The devil calls you to be a traitor. You're a child of God. Right? You're a child of God. He wants you to turn on your father and serve your flesh and serve the world and serve sin. See, I don't want to say this. I mean, I don't mean disrespect, but in a way, David had it easy. And I'm not as skilled by any stretch of a physical warrior as he was by any stretch or imagine. I probably couldn't hit the side of a barn with a stone in a sling from 2 feet. I'd probably kill myself. Okay? But the point of the matter is, folks, is that the devil, if Goliath's the type of the devil recruits, calls you to be a traitor. At the end of the millennium, the devil gets everybody to follow him and attack the city of the great king after Jesus Christ has ruled in perfection for 1,000 years. He manages to get folks to join him. I want to say that the world recruits. Who doesn't know that? That's the devil's domain. It's the devil's kingdom, if you would. And he's got control of it. And so whenever the world beckons, you know who's beckoning. It's the devil. The devil recruits. No, Goliath ran them off. They were scared to death. But the devil says, come on out, come join me. And, you know, Eve didn't exactly fly away with her hair stuck out on end. She joined him. I want to say that sin is that way. Flesh is that way. It woos and it coos and it sings a song to you. It seduces, it allures, it draws, it engages. It engages your interest. It engages your heart. It wants to have fellowship. And Goliath didn't want no fellowship. He just wanted to smush into the ground. And so in that respect, that David saw an enemy, a blatant, big-mouthed, blasphemous enemy, went and slung a stone and killed him instantly. It was over like that. Never had to, out of sight, out of mind. But none of your enemies are like that. Right? On a day-to-day basis, you still have to be vigilant on everything. I'd like to say further. Goliath was killed with a stone. And for you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You don't get to cut anybody's head off, sling a stone, stick them with a knife or anything like that. Swords and spears are useless. Assault rifles are not going to do the trick. Goliath was killed with a stone, but in the battle with the world, the flesh, the devil and sin, your weapons are spiritual. You need the book. You need the truth. You need the gospel. You need the breastplate of righteousness. And if you are not going to employ those, you're going to wind up buzzard meat. Learning and embracing and loving and knowing the Bible is no joke. It is your prime source of defense. It will warn you when the world, the flesh, or the devil is coming. But somebody that's not equipped with the Bible, they don't even know they're in danger. I want to say just a couple more things. In chapter 17, verse 8, would you notice? He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you. Let him come down to me. All Goliath wanted, all Goliath sought, was only one. He only wanted one man. And for 40 days, no man would come out to him, including Saul, who is over the heads and shoulders over all the rest of the men of Israel. If there was anybody in camp that physically would have had a chance, it would have been Saul. But even he would not come out. So Goliath sought only one. Finally, he got David, and David defeated him. Praise the Lord. But Goliath is a type of the world, the flesh, the devil, and sin. Goliath doesn't just want one. He wants everyone. Goliath wants you. And the Lord Jesus Christ warned Peter. He said, Satan hath desired to have you so he can sift you as wheat. But he could have said that to any of the rest of the 12. He could have said that to any of the other disciples that were standing around, hundreds of them. Because while Goliath wanted only one man. He wanted one man for a theatrical show. Lord knows what he would have done to the body. He probably stripped it and stomped its head and squished it. Who knows? It might have been a really, truly awful scene. But you can know this. Your enemy wants everyone. Every single one is threatened by your enemy. And so in that, it's different than David's battle. I'd like to say finally that Goliath just could not be ignored. He was this 11, 12 foot tall, 600 or 700 pound dude, big mouthed, blasphemous, an impressive specimen, sure enough, but I mean, with that voice bellowing, you know, like a foghorn. Every day, two or three times a day, this guy could not be ignored. I want you to know that if you're not careful, it's been proven in mainstream Christianity, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and sin can be all but forgotten. Most Christians aren't even in the battle. They don't really think Satan is that real. Those that call themselves Christians often, they don't really think the world is that much of a threat. They keep trying to draw it in. They don't think their flesh is all that bad. After all, I'm just following my heart. And that should get me there. No. I want to say Goliath could not be ignored, whereas the enemy that we face is rather easily forgotten if you're not in your Bible. And so, in that, I point out to you simply that, yep, David went out in an act of tremendous bravery. The underdog defeated decisively the enemy. And that little stone in that sling, I mean, you couldn't have killed Goliath any deader if you'd had an Apache helicopter. Dead is dead. Dead by a stone and your head cut off is just as dead as if you'd been hit by a 60 millimeter cannon. Right? Dead is dead. But what's sometimes forgotten is David defeated him and he's gone. He never has to worry about him again. And that is not the case, as we've said tonight, with our enemy. You have to be engaged all the time. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, it's strange to contemplate that there are some ways here that what we must conclude is that we have to be more valiant and consistent in this battle that we face, if we boil it down to Goliath, than David was. David, in an instant, defeated the giant to your glory. And praise the Lord for that. In the meantime, we're called to fight this long-term battle with a persistent enemy. In fact, more than one, really. the world, the flesh, the devil, sin. And those, that foursome engages us every single day of our lives. Father, we have to exceed in some ways David's vigilance and David's persistence. Lord, I pray you'll help us just to get a vision for it. There came out a champion, and he has won more battles than he's lost. And so I pray, Father, you might help us take this seriously. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn to number 414.